The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Also on Sirius XM Channel 80 and wherever you get podcasts, was Giannis's block. Soon as I saw it last night, I tweeted out, that's up there with LeBron's block, chase down block. But was Giannis's block better than LeBron's? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'm going to get into that in a second. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline.
Your two X factors are Jrue Holiday and Chris Paul. You're not exactly sure what you are going to get offensively from those two.
But the only way we can win this series is you got to win on the road. So we got to find a way to get this one next.
Well, Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton came through. Middleton, when it mattered most, was a scoring machine. And Holiday played tenacious defense. I realize that's the name of Jack Black's group, right? Tenacious D, but he did. Played tenacious defense on Chris Paul. But it was Giannis who got them there. Giannis was even the reason they had a chance to win. And then in the moment of truth, one of the greatest plays in the history of American team sports. I mean, you have to go back and look at plays in every major sport that required that level of difficulty against that caliber players, in this case, in that high a leverage situation. Now, LeBron's block was even higher leverage. It was Game 7 in what would turn out to be the greatest comeback in the history of basketball against a team that was on the verge of being called the greatest team of all time because the Warriors had won 73 games. They were at home, so LeBron's on the road at Oracle. I was there for this game. With like a minute left, Warriors going to take a lead. LeBron runs the length of the floor for the chase down block 40 minutes into the last game of the season. That's amazing. Higher leverage, more important, will wind up more famous, more spectacular, at least easier to understand how spectacular it was, and to the naked eye. And considering the time in the game, the number of minutes he's played, the chase down, the whole thing, maybe as or more difficult. But what was more skillful? I know it's game four, not game seven. But look, if the Bucks lose that game, they're down 3-1, they're going to lose the series. Nevertheless, I know it's game four and it's not game seven. I know it's not against the greatest Warriors team of all time type thing. 73 wins, the winningest team ever. I know it's not on the road in the fourth, all that stuff. But Giannis stopped Devin Booker from penetrating and then turned around from like the free throw line, basically, gets back to his man, who is DeAndre Ayton in this case, and pins or blocks against the glass the oop part of the alley-oop. That's against Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton with a minute 14 remaining in game four at home in a pivotal game four. In terms of skill level, it's better than LeBron's. In terms of importance and leverage moment and everything, no, LeBron's is better. But it's right up there. Here's Giannis after the game.
Just a hustle play. I thought I'm going to get dunked on, to be honest with you. But, going down the stretch, just do whatever, it takes to win the game. Just put yourself in a position that can win the game. And, I saw the play coming. I saw that Chris Paul was throwing the lob. So I'm just going to jump vertical, towards the rim. Hopefully I can, be there in time. And I was there in time and was able to get a good block and go down and get to a point. So it was a great hustle play.
And that was, now it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Let me tell you something. LeBron is Shaquille-like in these finals, in these whole playoffs. And Kobe was the closer, and Kobe got him over the top. Of course, because the smaller guy, the perimeter player who can get his own shot and also is in charge of getting the big the ball, of course that guy closes. Magic had to get Kareem the ball. Kobe had to get Shaq the ball or else take the shot himself. And the same holds true for Giannis playing with Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton. But Shaq was MVP in all three finals he and Kobe won. And in fact, in the one finals where Shaq wasn't himself against Detroit, they didn't win. Like, Kobe needed Shaq to take them there so Kobe could put him over the top. But Shaq also needed Kobe to put him over the top. Giannis needs his crime partners, Holiday and Middleton, to not waste his efforts like in game two at Phoenix when Giannis went for 40 and 10 and Middleton didn't show up. And as a result, they lost. But that wasn't the case in games three and four, especially not game four, where Middleton went for 40, including 10 straight points over the final 207 to put the Bucks ahead for good. Of course, it was Giannis's block of eight at the rim that preserved a two-point lead. It's a one-possession game with 74 seconds to go. Now, this is what Eddie Johnson, Suns TV analyst, former Sun, on the Max Kellerman Show, this very show, unless there's another show called the Max Kellerman Show, in which case we have a problem. No, it was this show, right, Raj? Yeah, it was. I seem to remember that Eddie Johnson was on yesterday. That's right. Listen to what Eddie said about the Suns and like what Giannis's performance would mean. Listen.
They got to make somebody else beat them. Max, the way he is scoring right now, it's devastating. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, somebody can get 40 points, and you can say, okay, it's spread out, you know. But he's, like, getting people in foul trouble, and he's scoring. And he's scoring high-percentage shots at the rim in the restricted area. You know, that's Shaq-like. And you can't allow a guy to continue to do that game in and game out. He's done it for two straight games.
It wasn't a 40-point game for Giannis. It was 26 points, 14 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks, one of them among the greatest plays in the history of American team sports. I mean, but listen to this. The reason I bring up Shaq is I want you to listen. This is from a Giants Daily, New York Giants Daily. It's a good Twitter follow, and I'm a Giants fan, so I follow, but they tweet about other sports. Giannis since Game 2 versus the Nets, right? So I just said 26, 14, 8, 3, and 2. How about this? Now I'm going to go game by game backward in time. 41 and 13, 42 and 12, 33, 9, and 11 assists, 25, 9, and 6. Hey, what happened, Giannis? He had an off game. Only 25, 9, and 6? Those are only Hakeem Olajuwon numbers. Not even good ones. 34 and 12. 40 and 13, 30 and 17, 34 and 12, 34 and 12, 33 and 14. Those are consecutive games through the playoffs. Now, he missed two games in the Western Conference Finals with a hyperextended knee. That is true. And they won those games and they advanced. But think about that. He's doing this on a hyperextended knee. Unbelievable performances by Giannis. And Middleton's doing his thing. Here's what has to happen now. Middleton has to show up on the road consistently. And Drew Holiday, because they may have two more games on the road. And Drew Holiday's got to score. Now, I know he has his hands full defending Chris Paul, and he's doing a magnificent job of it. Picking him up practically full court and really making things difficult for Chris Paul. And Chris Paul had a bunch of turnovers, and he's not playing very well right now. And a lot of that has to do with Drew Holiday. And I said going into this series, if you have a small point guard, if you're trying to defend a small point guard, small guard, you can't do better if Drew Holiday's on your team. You can't do better than that. No one's better at defending small guards than Drew Holiday in the league. Ask Damian Lillard. Ask now Chris Paul. He can get lit up by the bigger guys. But if you're a small point guard, you're going to have a problem if Drew Holiday's defending you. But Holiday's got to hit some shots. He can't miss every shot. And Middleton's got to show up on the road where the Bucks aren't going to win this series no matter what Giannis does. Remember what I always say. A great big needs a crime partner on his level. Know what happened last night? Middleton was on Giannis's level. 10 straight points late in the fourth quarter. 40 overall. That's a superstar performance. That's what it takes. Was Giannis's block better than LeBron's? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance, and that was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Now, if I were Devin Booker last night, I mean, I actually saw a referee literally swallow his whistle on the sixth thing. I think he has indigestion today. It was like, clearly Booker fouled out. And the ref was like, no, I'm just going to swallow this thing. I can't blow this whistle. I mean, Devin Booker had diplomatic immunity. If I was Booker today, I'd try and park in an illegal parking space. I'd see what I could get away with. He couldn't foul out if he tried. I remember finally the eighth foul of the night for him. I was joking around. I tweeted, all right, folks, that'll be it for Booker. Eighth foul, that'll be it for Booker. They still didn't foul him out. It wasn't enough. Like, there's no time left in the game even. They left him in the game. Meta World Peace. Meta Sandiford Artest. Standiford Artest. You have to give me some time still to remember this name. Meta Sandiford Artest. Of course, Meta, you change your name every other day. You got to give a guy a second to catch up. On the Goodyear Hotline, how you doing, Meta?
Yeah, everything's good, man. You get married, you change your last name to your wife's last name.
That's right. Look at that. That's right. You're a liberated man. You are a Renaissance man. That's right. Let me ask you this, Meta. Have you ever seen an example of a ref swallowing his whistle to the extent they did last night on Devin Booker on fouls 6, 7, and 8 late in that game?
That was kind of ridiculous to me. You know, you got to make the right call. You know, refs, they need to call me because, you know, we got to have a talk. You can't just have a blatant foul and then keep him in the game because he's a superstar. You know, it's just ridiculous.
Is that, though, what do players say? When that happens, what are players talking about on the court after the game? What's going on in those locker rooms and on the court after the
cheating.
Both teams witness?
Cheating.
That's what the players are talking about?
If you're in the locker room, you're like, yo, they cheating, straight up. If you're in the locker room and you saw that, you're like, you know, they wanted to keep it close. And you can't do that. If it's a foul, it's a foul. That's why it's basketball. It ain't about one person.
I mean, if I was Devin Booker on the court last night, he could do no – I try to embezzle funds or something. I try to do something, see what I could get away with. He couldn't be prosecuted for anything. That dude could get away with anything.
He probably could have got away with more.
Should yeah, that's right.
Held somebody's arm and stole the ball.
That's right. Duct tape his arms together and just steal the ball, start scoring like a Harlem Globetrotter. I mean, it's crazy. What was going on? Meta, meantime, LeBron's block on Iguodala, like the chase down block, it's game 7. It's against a 73-win team. You're coming back down 3-1, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not arguing that the block last night was as big or important. Still, game 4 of the finals, pivotal game, last couple minutes of the game, all that. But I'm thinking, I don't want to say difficult, because LeBron was gassed 40 minutes into game 7, anything, but in terms of skill, the level of skill that it took for Giannis, I don't think I've ever seen a defensive play in the finals that required a higher skill level than that. Have you?
Absolutely not. You know, and it shows that he wants to. LeBron's is pretty impressive because, you know, we used to LeBron playing offense, but LeBron is actually a really good defender in certain situations. And that play by Giannis, I mean, that was just incredible. It shows that he can sense that he's close. Mm. And he has to do. Look at this. Look at that. Look at the awareness. And I mean, the awareness for someone to, you know, get down in a defensive stance and then recover. That's what I'm talking about when I'm coaching. That's what I'm talking about. Like, that's the type of guy I love.
Right.
That's incredible.
Everything came together there. Because people think about defense. It's just like, it's a hustle stat, kind of. It's a hustle thing. But
right.
It requires, there's defensive IQ. You know, like, you look at guys like you or Dennis Rodman or, like, great defenders. It's not just that you guys are hustling or that you're athletic. It's that you have an awareness, a defensive awareness. So I look at that Giannis block. Not only is he stopping the penetration by Booker, but then he has to, as you said, be aware enough to go find his man, elevate, recover from almost the top of the key, right, and pin the ball against the glass. Is there anything even comparable? Have you ever had a defensive play where you were like, okay, I just did something, like on that level?
I mean, I had a lot of defensive plays where, because a lot of it's athleticism. Balance, strength, quickness, IQ, and awareness. And I did some things that I was just like, wow, that's incredible. And I think like what Giannis did, that was incredible for him to, you know, shell defense in the middle, plant on his left foot to stop a guard, and then slide and protect the rim. That was incredible defense.
Right, but
incredible.
Like, you know, not just a guard. Like, you know, Raj is a guard. I'm a guard if we're playing, right? Right? Not just a guard. Devin Booker. It's like also the names involved. You're stopping Devin Booker, who's on fire, from penetrating and then turning around and blocking DeAndre Ayton, who's been a beast all playoffs. Like, I think the more people think about this play meta, I think the more it's going to rise in people's estimations among the all-time plays.
Oh, for sure. And this is what people – look at him down in the stance. He's playing the pick and roll. He's in a drop coverage, right? So he's in a drop coverage, not a trap, high screen and roll, soft drop. And he's going backwards, and he is guarding Booker, and he's guarding Giannis. I mean, Ayton before the block shot.
When I
you
think
see what I'm saying, so he's keeping his distance between both guys the whole way, and it gave him time to recover. Like, just brilliant.
When
brilliant.
I think about the all-time great defenders, like one of the things among the long guys, I think of like I've seen AD do this. I've seen KG do this. They can guard both guys on the pick and roll, like not by accident. It's like, wait, how? You can't guard both dudes. One dude is guarding both dudes? That's like one of those kind of plays. It's unbelievable. Meta, meantime, the home team has won. Even a play like that, you might be a little extra juiced by the home crowd. And my point about this series, Suns still have home court. They got a lot of pressure in game five, no doubt, but they still have home court. And I need to see Middleton step up on the road. He's been a beast at home. He needs to step up on the road. What is that mentality about? I'm not about a role player. I mean more of a star player. What's that mentality about? Why are some guys better at home even in these situations?
I just think Middleton needs to focus more on worrying about the outcome after the championship is over, right? And I told this to Schroeder his last game against the Suns. I was like, hey, when he came out of halftime, I said, man, worry about the outcome after the game is over. Don't worry about it right now.
What do you mean by that, Meta? What do you mean by that?
Meaning, play basketball. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about the coaches not wanting you to shoot. Don't worry about media giving you talk or lip if you shoot an air ball at the free throw line. Don't worry about being dunked on. Don't worry about anything until the series is over. Then you assess yourself. Don't assess yourself
midway
while you're playing the game.
Yeah.
You know, and
what makes you say he's doing that? What makes you think when you watch Schroeder and now you watch Middleton, something's giving you that impression? What is it? That they're self-evaluating in the moment instead of waiting till the end?
Just the rhythm of the shot, the rhythm of the move. When you're not just taking a dribble to the basket, two dribble pull up, spin if they cut you off. You know, maybe you take a shot with two people there. Maybe it was a mistake. Maybe you could have passed it. Okay, pass it the next time. You know, no hesitation, no second doubt. And you can see it in these, in seconds, you know, of time where Middleton's playing, where he's like just hesitating and he's assessing himself. You know, am I an all time great? I want to win a championship. They're going to judge me. Don't worry about it. You know, worry about it after the game.
Mm. You know, it's funny because I think about Chris Paul. And Chris Paul, here's a dude who was playing the best basketball of his career, I felt, against Denver, right? And he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, and it's like, boy, that's the best he's ever played. Not as good as, that's the best he's ever played against Denver. Then he gets COVID, and he misses the first two games of the Western Conference Finals. But they win those games. And Campaign is playing his you-know-what off, and they win those games. Then CP3 comes back, and he slows down the offense, and they start to lose. And I'm like, oh, my God. This is a legacy situation here. If CP3 blows this, oh, he'll never hear the end of it. He never got to the finals. He collapsed. But he didn't. He somehow figured out a way to be amazing and bring them to the promised land, right? So that is an example of a guy, like you couldn't say CP3 was choking because you have to wait until you see the full body of work. And he didn't. He came through. But he's kind of in the same situation again. He's turning the ball over left and right. Jrue Holiday is all over him, and Holiday's a great defender against smaller guards. His team has to win game five, it seems now. I'm not saying he's choking, Meta, because we're still, like you said, let's wait until the whole thing is over. But I think Chris Paul finds himself again in an enormous legacy game in game five. To that, you say what?
I say, for one, Chris Paul's not supposed to be here right now. If you rewind this 4 years ago when he hurt his hamstring in Houston, we thought his career was over. So then he's going up against the Lakers, right? And they lost a game. So then we're like, okay, Chris Paul, great job with the Suns. You did a great job, MVP candidate. But you know LeBron and AD's here. You're not going to be here. They get hurt. He advances, right? And so if he wins this, there's no asterisk on it because so many people won championship because other players were injured and they don't have an asterisk. So, you know, I think this is a legacy game for him. I think he has to seize this moment. And I remember playing against Chris Paul in the playoffs, and I remember telling myself on defense, I can't make a mistake. And this is when he was with the New Orleans team. I forget the name of the New Orleans team. But he was with the New Orleans team, and I'm like, we can't make a mistake. They took us to six. We won at the buzzer with a tipping by Paul Gasol, you know, to go to the next round. And I remember him, he's like mentally draining. He has the ball. He knows exactly what's happening. And you know what? I think he might come out on top.
You know, not just because you're a clutch player doesn't mean you're always going to be clutch. Even clutch players can have bad games and stuff. But I think about you. I think about, like, Jalen Rose, right? Guys who, whatever level they were in college, they had good pro careers. Whether or not they're going to be in the Hall of Fame one day, but as pros, they had good careers. But the main thing was you trusted them in big games. And that wasn't just blind faith. Like, you, I think of Jalen, I think of certain level player who clearly played better with pressure. Clearly. Like, not only they gave you the good feeling, but when you go back and look at the numbers, you're like, yeah, I wasn't crazy. They really did ball out when it mattered most. What is that about?
You know, like, for me, like, when we won a championship that 1 year, I think I had like 20-plus points in every closeout game.
Yep.
And, you know, for me, it's like, just seize the moment. You know, we're right here. I know we got Kobe. I know we got Powell. If they need me, I'm here. Like, I want to win it. And I think what's most important in that situation, you got to really, you know, turn your ego on, but stay within that team concept. But for me, I always feel like I'm the best. Now, I'm not the best. Look at my numbers. Clearly, I'm not the best. But, you know, in those situations, yeah, you feel like you're the best. You know, you feel like nobody's better than you. And whatever happens, happens, you know. And that's how I feel in many of the games that I played in.
Yeah, and that's what Chris Paul's got to be feeling. That's what Chris Paul's got to be feeling if the Suns want to win. But I, he's one of those guys to me, Meta. He's one of those.
It's really hard. You're going up against Holiday.
He's a dog.
Yeah, you know, like, what are you going to do?
He's a dog. Ask Damian Lillard about that. Like, he's a, like, Holiday, if you are not big, if you're a small guard, good luck with this dude, because he defensively, he gets after it. But I still favor the Suns. Before we get out of here, who do you like in the series? I still favor the Suns. They have home court. Middleton has not played great on the road. Holiday's shot has not been falling. Who do you like in this series?
I just think the Bucks is going to pull it out because Giannis is just incredible, and I don't know if they can keep up with that pace.
Mm. Yeah, he is the best player in the series.
I think the Bucks pull it out.
Meta Standiford, right? Am I right about that?
Sandiford.
Well, you know what the problem is? Raj keeps misspelling it on the thing. Sandiford. Sandiford. There's no T, Raj. Sandiford. No T, stop insulting this man's wife. He took her last name. Meta, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Always love it. Always love to see you, man. We got to link up one of these days when I'm in LA or you're in New York.
Let's do it. Absolutely, Max.
The great Meta Standiford, Raj. World peace. This is the Max Kellerman Show coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Coming up, does Cam expect to be the Pats' starting quarterback? Drafted a quarterback in the first round. Hear what he said on Key J. Will and Zubin next. Friends, demand for unskilled workers is sky high, but who wants that life? There's demand for hundreds of thousands of IT and cybersecurity. Cybersecurity professionals in the U.S., and My Computer Career is training people to meet it. Get skilled. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Through July, grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Hear what Cam Newton had to say coming up.
The NBA and Keyshawn J. Willens Zubin.
Regular season MVP all day long. Postseason MVP, not so much.
Get inside the biggest stories. Plus, the insiders come here to tell you what to expect next.
He had the best half of basketball he probably had in 16 years.
The NBA is on. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Tomorrow starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, and on the ESPN app. The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Whenever Cam has been on the field, he's consistently been number one through the drills. I take Bill Belichick at his word on this one when he says, Cam is our quarterback.
This ain't gonna be easy. This town is tough. This town is mean. This town is blue collar. Kid's gonna have a lot of pressure.
I think Max, he has a pretty good understanding of, you know, the things that we do, and, you know, he has to go out there and do them and get comfortable with them. So.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80. Oh, Regulate. Warren G is a great song. Also, wherever you get podcasts, of course. Cam Feely still the guy in New England? 888-SAY-ESPN? Or is it a tad bit late? 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Cam Newton speaks on Key, J. Will, and Zubin. First, Cam Newton on how he's feeling physically.
Everything's good. I'm healthy. You know, I'm lean. I'm trying to, you know, do all the things that I can do at this particular point. You know, and I think in the offseason, you know, everybody's confident. Everybody's, you know, exuberant about, you know, the possibilities of the year. And, you know, I'm no different. So right now I want to do the things that I know I can control. I don't want to do the things that I know I have, you know, the capabilities to better myself. And that's working out daily, working on diet and then nutrition, staying in the book, you know, making the proper necessary, you know, things that, you know, can benefit me in the long run.
Still that guy, Cam?
It's no proving that right now. You know, and that's where I'm at mentally. That's where I'm at, you know, and understanding that, you know, now with, you know, well, I'd say a couple months before the season, everybody's looking for something to get excited about or rave about or just say, oh, man, that's BS. Who, you know, we don't need him to be talking like this, or he doesn't need to be talking like this in early July. But, you know, the truth is I'm doing everything that I know to get myself to the position where I know where I need to be, and that's just to put this team in the best situation to win football games, and that's all that matters.
Cam Newton, quarterback, starting quarterback, as far as we know, of the New England Patriots. Rate your play from last season.
Obviously not good enough, and there's things that, you know, you can get better at. There are things that, you know, I know I will get better at. And it's just trusting in yourself, trusting in coaching, and believing in the process of keeping it all in the wheelhouse. So, you know, once that's understood, then, you know, you'll be A-okay.
You know, twice in Cam's career, he's played most of a season where he's had a completion percentage over 65%. And two of those, and that's his last two full seasons he played. The first under Norv Turner in Carolina. He had his highest completion percentage ever. It was close to 70%. And they were winning. Then he hurt his shoulder and they started losing. He tried to play through it. And then last year, he didn't put up great numbers. His completion percentage, again, over 65%. And a lot of short passes, but he was two plays away from being 9-7. Wound up 7-9. Now think about this for a second. Cam Newton, having the best passing stretch of his career right before he gets hurt. Catastrophic injury, misses a year. Comes back, new coach, new team, new stadium, new system, in a completely different kind of environment, completely different kind of coaching system. No preseason because of COVID. Nevertheless, he looks good to start the year. And they're winning. And at least, you know, they're winning as much as they're losing. Then Cam gets COVID. Now, Belichick and Josh McDaniels, and, you know, it's all about preparation and putting you in the right situation more than other teams even. And they didn't have that advantage. Certainly, they didn't have the talent on the team. The talent was so bad in terms of offensive weapons that Brady had to leave town. He's like, I can't work with this. Coach not giving me enough. And look how much better Brady looked when he had some weapons. Like, If anything, the Patriots had even fewer weapons for Cam. They had, like, what is it, 7, 8, 9 guys not play defense that year? They opted out because of COVID? And even so, then Cam gets COVID? The practice facilities are shut down? And even so, he's 2 plays away from winning 9 games? You mean to tell me they can't win double-digit games this year and they have 17 games to do it now, the new 17-game schedule? You think they'll be under 500, 8-9, something like that? I think they're over 500. I'd say a break-even year is 9-8 for the Patriots. But could they win 10, 11 games? I think they could. Could they make the playoffs? I think they could. Could they win a playoff game? I think the answer is yes. Could Cam maybe one day win a Super Bowl with Belichick? I wouldn't rule it out. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit Progressive.com. Up next, what's it going to take for Aaron Rodgers to make his point to the Packers? Plus, your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN. Does the thought of selling your motorcycle, ATV, or vehicle already make you exhausted? There's no need to keep putting it off because RumbleOn.com makes selling easy. You'll have a cash offer in minutes and a free pickup. Harley, Polaris, Can-Am, Yamaha, trade in or sell, RumbleOn will pay cash no matter what the make or model. See what RumbleOn can do for you by visiting RumbleOn.com. Fast bikes, faster cash.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also SiriusXM Channel 80, wherever you get your podcasts, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Tune in to an AL East rivalry tonight as my Yankees better beat those Red Sox in the Bronx. Oh, it's making me so mad this season. I don't know what's wrong with them. What's wrong with the Yankees this year? Coverage begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Max.
All right, Tony in Minnesota, what you got?
Hey, Max, how you doing, buddy?
Go ahead.
Good. So I want to talk about the Aaron Rodgers situation. I hear a lot of people keep saying, like, why would they trade him now? Because they're going to get draft capital, and you can't use the draft capital until next year anyway. But my thought process is, if you have someone that's that unhappy, why would you want that in your locker room?
Exactly. That's the reason Aaron Rodgers, in fact, has all the leverage, is I don't think if you're ready to win a Super Bowl, you can do it with a quarterback who's not all in. It takes like that kind of commitment to lead a locker room to the promised land, even if they're talented. Not a guy who doesn't want to be there. I don't see how that works. And so even if the Packers want to be stubborn, if they're serious about winning a Super Bowl and that team is ready to win, then their real job is to change Aaron Rodgers' mind. But they can't do that until they acknowledge to themselves that he is the boss. Like Murphy and Gutekunst, they have to get it through their heads. Aaron Rodgers is my boss. In fact, they should come on this show and I'll help them say it. They need to say it out loud for me. Aaron Rodgers is my boss. He tells me what to do. Once they say that 3 or 4 times, it'll get through their head. They have to start changing their behavior. And once they do that, they can begin to try to actually change his mind, because Rodgers' mind is the one that controls the whole thing. They have 0 power. He has 100% of the power. Only if he has the guts to follow through and sit out if he has to. Mike Tannenbaum, yesterday here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN NFL front office insider, of course, on what is going to happen.
I don't think the story really heats up, Max, until opening weekend. And if and when he misses some regular season games, I think that's when the narrative could change. Because if I'm Green Bay, I'm hoping that he shows up at some point. Even if he misses a couple of weeks, that doesn't change my strategy. My strategy changes if he misses regular season games.
I'll bet you anything, if Murphy or Gutekunst came on this show, on the Max Kellerman Show, and repeated after me, Aaron Rodgers is our boss. He tells us what to do. 3 or 4 times. It's like a therapy session for them. Rodgers will hear it, and they can begin the process of trying to change his mind. And by the way, maybe win a Super Bowl this year. And maybe win more than one. The Packers are set up. But if they really think they're calling the shots, they shouldn't have their jobs. unless Rodgers lacks the guts to follow through and sit out if he has to. That's their only shot. And if he lacks those guts, you think you're going to win another Super Bowl with him? Brandon in Tennessee, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hi, Max. How you doing?
Good, Brandon. Go. Yeah, right. No, how you doing, everybody. It's not a social call. It's an entertainment programming.
Hey, I just want to say something about the Giannis block. Great block, obviously, but no way it's better than the LeBron over Iguodala. It was just too big a momentum shift. I mean, LeBron's the greatest, though. You know that. But I mean,
wait, you're saying – wait, I couldn't. I can't hear you exactly clearly. You're saying that it does not compare to LeBron's block?
I don't think so.
Why?
I don't think so.
Tell me why.
The momentum shift. The pure reaction out of Iguodala. He was completely dumbfounded, but I know – Aiden was as well.
Yeah, no, you're right about this. If you say you have to rank them in terms of how huge they were, their level of significance, LeBron's is one, Giannis is behind LeBron's. Because LeBron was playing a 73-win, winningest team of all time, about to be called the greatest team ever team, on the road in Game 7 in the fourth quarter with a minute left, and they were about to take the lead behind that, right? So, and then he had to run the full length of the floor, 40 minutes plus into the game, and do that, right? Like, at the last game of the season, he was exhausted. So, you're right. I'm not talking about that. When you add it all up, you're right. I'm saying it was also a finals game. It was also a pivotal game, game 4, not 7. They were at home, not the road. They were up 2, not down 2, or not the tie game or anything like that. They weren't playing the greatest team of all time. All those things are true. Context helps LeBron. And no, Giannis didn't have to run the length of the floor, and it wasn't the last minute and a half of the game, whatever it is. But in terms of skill level, not difficulty level, which counts also your fatigue and everything, skill level, LeBron stopped Devin Booker, not some guard, Devin Booker from penetrating, then turned around, found DeAndre Ayton, and elevated and pinned it to the glass, like, well, he blocked it against the glass, guarded both guys. Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton in a finals game? In a one-possession game? In the fourth quarter of a finals game? Doesn't get much bigger than that. Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.